来到主面前都是主的恩典。
Each time as we come to the Lord, it is by His grace.
而且我们来到主面前，我们的主给我们一个宝贵的礼物，我们盼望每一个都能得到这个宝贵的礼物。
And the Lord has given every one of us a precious gift, and I truly hope that we all will accept it.
我们今天一起来看一节圣经，是在提摩太后书3:16-17，我们就读第一句话。
Today shall we all read one verse from the second book of Timothy, chapter 3:16-17.
圣经都是神所默示的，今天我们就停在这一节。
All scripture is God-breathed, and we should stop at this verse and consider it.
请我们低头，我们有些祷告。
Shall we bow and pray?
主，我们谢谢你的恩典。
Lord, we thank you for your grace.
我们把今天的聚会恭敬地交在主你恩手中。
We commit today's worship onto your hand.
我们求圣灵在我们中间运行。
We pray that the Holy Spirit will work among us.
你越过我们所有服侍人的软弱。
May you surpass all the weakness of us for serving you.
主，以至于你的话语可以进到我们每个人的心。
So that your words may come into our hearts.
主，你也预备我们每一个人的心。
And may you prepare every one of our hearts.
我们恭敬地把今天的时间交在主恩手中。
We commit today's time reverently in your hands.
祷告是奉耶稣基督你宝贵的名。
We pray in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
我们中间有些弟兄姐妹，他们很单纯。
Some brothers and sisters among us are very simple-minded.
他们在基督徒家庭长大，他就自然而然就成为基督徒。
As they may grow up from a Christian family, quite naturally, they become Christian themselves.
我问他你怎样成为基督徒，甚至有些弟兄姐妹也不知道他怎样成为基督徒。
When I ask some brothers and sisters how you become Christians, and they are a bit confused, they don't even know how they became Christians.
那有些弟兄姐妹们，他要经过很多的难处，在他的困境之中，他转向了主。
For the others, they may go through quite a few difficulties and hardship, which help them to turn to God.
我想这两类的基督徒都很有福。
I believe that both groups of Christians are truly blessed by God.
那还有一些人，
Still others,
他有很多的思想。
They might have a lot of thoughts.
他很会思考，而且一生也没有遇到过大的难处。
They're good at thinking and reasoning, and they never encounter any great difficulties in their life.
那对他们来说，他不是很容易相信一件事情。
For them, it is not easy to believe something.
所以我就在思想怎样来帮助这一部分人来认识我们的主。
So I'm thinking of how to help those type of people to believe in God.
虽然神的丰富是远超过我们理性所能理解的。
Although our God's richness is surpassing all our reasoning.
但是靠着我们的理性，我们仍然可以来学习寻求我们的主。
Yet with our rationale, we can still learn to know about God.
我们先来看一看圣经都是神所默示的这个事实。
Let's first have a look at the fact of All scripture is breathed by God.
圣经都是神所默示的，也就是说是神的灵感动人写出了圣经。
Which means it is God's spirit that has moved man to write down his words.
那圣经旧约有39卷，新约有27卷。
As we know, there are 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament.
总共有66卷的书，而作者有40几位。
Altogether making Bible a collection of 66 books written by more than 40 authors.
他所经历的时间是1500年左右写成的。
And took about 1500 years for the whole Bible to be compiled.
最早的书卷大概成书于公元前1400年。
The first book was completed about 1400 years BC.
那这个时间比我们中国商朝的甲骨文的出现还要早大概一个世纪。
that time was about one century before the Shang Dynasty, where oracle bone script appeared.
那最晚的书卷是在公元一世纪左右。
The last book in the Bible was completed at about the first century.
我们发现这些作者，他们文化背景不一样，他们的成长背景也不一样。
All the authors come from different culture and background.
那有些人是在中东以色列那个地方成长。
Some grew up from Middle East near Israel.
有些是在埃及地成长，像摩西、约书亚。
Some grew up in Egypt like Moses and Joshua.
那有些是被掳到巴比伦，比如说以斯拉在那边那个地方成长的。
Some were captivated to Babylon like Ezra.
那他们的身份也不一样，有些是做君王的，像这个大卫、所罗门。
The social status were different too. Some are kings like David and Solomon.
有些他们的职业很普通的，像牧羊人阿摩斯。
Some have a common career like the shepherd Amos.
有渔夫彼得跟约翰。
Fisherman Peter and John.
也有这个医生路加。
Or a doctor like Luke.
他们虽然有很多的不同，他们所写的每个书卷有他们各自的特色。
Although they have very different and unique writing styles.
但是因为这个是圣灵感动所写出来的。
But because the Bible is inspired by God and the Holy Spirit.
所以当后面的人把这些精卷筛选拼在一起的时候。
So as all the books were chosen and put together by people coming after them,
那就是我们现在这一本宝贵的书圣经。
They formed the Bible now we have in our hand.
圣经是神所默示的，它就一个中心思想。
All scripture is inspired by God, and it has one common theme.
它启示神他的计划。
The Bible has revealed to us the plan of God.
讲到我们人的犯罪，神怎样施行他的拯救。
It talks about how man sinned and fell, and how God came to save us.
所以这可以说是一本神爱世人的一本书。
We can say that the Bible is a book talking about how God loved man.
世界上也没有任何的一本书可以跟圣经来比拟。
There is no other book in the world that can be compared to the Bible.
所以圣经的这些特性证明圣经是神所默示的，是可以相信的。
These characteristics of the Bible has proved that the Bible is inspired by God and it is truly trustworthy.
我们也来看一看在圣经中有一些预言，这些预言证实圣经是神所默示的，是让我们可以相信的。
And we can also take a look at all the prophecies in the Bible which proved that the Bible is inspired by God.
我们第一个先来看关于以东结局的预言。
First of all, let's have a look at the prophecy about the ending of Edom.
以东，我想我们大家都很熟悉，它就是以扫。
I think you all know Edom is Esau.
以扫是以撒的长子。
Who's the first son of Isaac?
他因为轻看长子的名分，为了一碗红豆汤，就把他的长子名分卖给他的弟弟雅各。
He despised his birthright, and for a red stew, he sold his birthright to his younger brother Jacob.
这个长子的名分是可以承受双份产业的祝福。
A birthright allows someone to inherit double portion.
那么我们如果从属灵的层面来看
，The double portion of blessing from the spiritual perspective.
他更是可以承受应许之地迦南地。
It talks about that you can inherit the promised land, which is Canaan.
承受君王的祝福。
To inherit the blessing from the king.
和祭司的祝福。
And the blessing from the priest.
如果按我们新约现在来讲，也就是我们要住在主里面，成为神的儿女。
From the angle of the New Testament, it means we can dwell in Christ and become children of God.
我们来看这个以扫，因为轻看长子的名分，他就带出他家庭的问题。
Because Esau has despised his birthright, it brought forth some problem in his family.
当以扫40岁的时候，他就娶了两个外邦女子。
When Esau was 40 years old, he married two Gentile wives.
所以圣经提到这件事情的时候，他说他们常常使加百列、以撒和加百列心中惶恼。
And the Bible mentions, it commented that they were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebecca.
那这个是家庭的问题。
This is the problem in Esau's family.
那以扫轻看神的祝福，他又带出这个子孙后代的问题。
Because Esau despised God's blessing, it also brought forth some problems in his descendants.
那以扫的子孙就是以东人。
Descendants of Esau are called Edomites.
他们除灭了何利人之后，他就住在那个西尔山一带。
After they destroyed the Horites, they settled down in the Mount of Seir.
这些以东人都做了一些什么事情呢？
What have those Edomites done?
当以色列出埃及要经过那个地方的时候，
After Israelites came out of Egypt and is entering to the land of Canaan,
以东人拒绝让他们过境。
The Edomites refused them to pass through their land.
当巴比伦围困耶路撒冷的时候，
When the Babylonians were put a siege in Jerusalem,
这些以东人竟然帮助巴比伦。
The Edomites, they helped the enemies.
他们趁火打劫，落井下石。
And they ransacked the Israelites.
唯独自己的骨肉之亲以色列人。
They blocked the Israelites who are their close kinsmen.
他们把很多的以色列人解押给巴比伦。
They handed over lots of Israelites to the Babylonians.
他没有一点点的恻隐之心。
They didn't have any mercy on their brothers.
所以在诗篇137篇。
So in Psalm 137.
这是以色列被掳之后的一个血泪诗歌。
It's a psalm of tears and blood after Israelites were captivated.
在第七节。
In verse 7,
耶路撒冷遭难的日子，以东人说：“拆毁，拆毁！”只拆到根基。耶和华，求你纪念这仇。
On the day Jerusalem fell, tear it down, they cried, tear it down to its foundation. Remember, Lord, what the Edomite did.
我们看到这些时候，我们发现这些以东人他真的很糟糕，没有这种道德的底线。
We can see from that that the Edomites were really very bad. They didn't have any ethical bottom line.
所以神就借着先知俄巴底亚对以东有这样的审判。
So God has announced the judgment on Edom through prophet Obadiah.
俄巴底亚书是成书于公元前607年左右。
The book of Obadiah was completed about B.C. 607.
我们一起来看第一章一到十节，我们一起读一下。
Shall we have a read the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 1 to 4? Let's read together.
俄巴底亚得了耶和华的默示，论以东说：“我从耶和华那里听见信息，并有使者被差往列国去，说：起来吧。”一同起来与以东征战，我使你以东在列国中为最小的，被人大大藐视。住在山穴中，居所在高处的，你因狂傲自欺，心里说：谁能将我拉下地去呢？你虽如大鹰高飞，在星宿之间搭窝，我也必从那里拉下你来。这是耶和华说的。我们再来看一些图片。
Let's have a look at a few pictures.
这个是以东人的骄傲。他
This is the pride of Edom.
他是住在那个山穴中。
Because they lived in the clefts of rocks.
他的居所是那个在高处。
They made their home on heights.
以扫 原来是有毛的意思。
Originally, Esau means hairy.
以扫出生的时候，他全身是通红的。
When Esau was born, he was red all over.
他又因为一碗红豆汤卖了长子的名分。
Also because he sold his birthright for a red stew.
所以以扫又叫以东，就是红的意思。
So Esau is also called Edom, which means red.
所以我们看见红色好像是以东的标签。
As if red, the color red is a label for Edom.
他的居所我们看见也是红色。
And his dwelling places are also red.
我们再看下一张图片。
Next picture.
这个是以东的宝藏。
This is Edom's stronghold.
他唯一的出口就是这一条。
The only passage, the only entrance to the stronghold is this narrow way.
这一条狭长的通道，他们叫蛇道，长有 1.5 公里。
This narrow canyon passage is about 1.5 kilometers long.
那它最宽的地方有7米，而最窄的地方大概只有2米。
The widest part is 7 meters, the narrowest part is only 2 meters.
所以这样子，敌人就没有办法调集大军来攻城。
Making it impossible for the enemies to send a big troop to attack this place.
而且他周边的这些资源是非常丰富的，周边就是森林，就是高地平原，可以牧羊。
And also this place is very rich in resources. There are highlands and plains and lots of grass and forests.
并且他们有一股喷泉来提供他们足够的水源。
There's also a spring nearby to provide them steady water resources.
所以我们看见以东有很多的骄傲，他说谁能把我拉下来。
So we can see that Edom has many things to be proud of, and he said, who can take me down from high?
但是神的审判就是要把这样的骄傲的以东拉下来。
Yet God's judgment is to bring pride down to the earth.
所以我们看见就是神审判以东之后的结局。
Let's have a look at the result of God's judgment on Edom.
这些以东人，当他帮助巴比伦攻破了耶路撒冷。
When these Edomites helped the Babylonians to attack and occupy Jerusalem,
他就趁机就占领了犹大的南部的地方。
The Edomites occupied the southern area of Judah.
这个犹大的南部后来又称为以土买。
This area Judea was later called Edomia.
但是他没有想到巴比伦很快的就派遣阿拉伯的一个民族。
That they didn't expect that the Babylonians shortly sent another Arabian nation.
那巴泰人他很快就把这个以东这个宝藏给攻下来。
Nabarenes who occupied and attacked the stronghold of Edom.
所以以东他就失去他的宝藏。
Then Edom has lost his fortress.
那到了两约的时代。
And between the 400 years between New and Old Testament.
也就是新约跟旧约中间大概有400年的时间。
Which is the period of 400 years between New Testament and the Old Testament.
那以东的这个以土玛这个地区又被犹太人所统治。
The Edomite area was once reigned by the Jews.
那我们是很熟悉的一段历史，就是在罗马帝国的时候。
Another history we're familiar with is when we come to Roman Empire age.
我们的主耶稣他生活的那个时候，有个大希律王，他就是以东的。
When our Jesus was on the earth, Hero the Great, he was an Edomite.
那这个是以东人最后的复兴。
That was the last revival of Edom.
那到了公元三世纪，以东人跟他的语言就完全消失了。
And by the third century, Edomites together with their language disappeared forever.
所以这个正如神借先知耶利米对以东的预言。
So just as God has prophesied about Edom through prophet Jeremiah.
耶利米书是成书于公元前540年之前。
We know the book of Jeremiah was completed about B.C. 540.
我们一起来读耶利米书49章17节到18节。
Shall we together read Jeremiah chapter 49 verse 17 to 18?
以东宾利人惊骇，还经过的人就受惊骇，又因他一切的灾祸耻笑。耶和华说，必无人住在那里，也无人在其中寄居，要像索多玛、俄美拉和宁静的城邑倾覆的时候一样。我们再看下面一个图片。
Let's have a look at the third picture.
这个就是佩斯纳。
This is Petra, the capital city of Edom.
他们称为遗失的城。
They called a lost city.
这座城一直到了1812年才重新被发现。
It was rediscovered in 1812.
我们再看下面一个图片。
Next picture.
这个它的室内的图片。
This is the picture of the interior inside of the Petra.
所以当我们看见以东结局的这些预言的时候，我们实在感谢主。
So when we see this fulfillment of the prophecies about Edom, we really thank God.
因为我们就要把握圣经真的是神所默示。
Because we know that this proves that the Bible is inspired by God.
我们再来看另外一个预言，是关于以色列复国的预言。
And shall we have a look at another prophecy about the reestablishment of Israel?
以色列要复国，它要满足几个条件。
The reestablishment of the state of Israel must meet certain conditions.
那第一个，以色列这个民族它不可以被同化。
The first condition is Israelites must not be assimilated.
有人种学家统计，一个民族它一旦亡国了500年就不可能复国。
According to some stats from ethnographer, any nationality, once it's subjugated for 500 years, it would be assimilated.
我们对中国历史有点了解，这个皇亲复明没有成功过。
People who know Chinese history, we know that the Ming Dynasty wasn't successfully restated.
如果爱看小说了，我们看见那个《天龙八部》里面有个慕容复要恢复他的燕国，也不能成功。
Those who loves reading the novels, you know that the restoring of the Yan country was not successful either by Xi Murong.
但是我们看见唯独一个国家以色列它亡国了2600年。
However, only one country in the world, Israel, after it was destructed by 2600 years,
它被分散到世界各地大概有1800年。
And its people scattered around the world for about 1800 years.
但是他们却不被同化。
Yet, the people have not been assimilated.
我们来思想为什么他不被同化。
Why?
因为他们是神的选民。
Because they're God's elect.
当圣经讲到以色列民的时候，说他们是独居的民，不列在万民之中。
When the Bible mentions the people of Israel, they say it's a people who live apart and do not consider themselves one of the nations.
我们中国人来到澳大利亚。
We Chinese come to Australia.
到了我的孩子这一代基本不太会讲中文了。
Our next generation basically cannot speak Chinese.
到了他们的孩子第三代的时候，我看他们连祖宗是哪里来的都不知道。
And our third generation, I guess that they wouldn't be able to tell where the ancestors coming from.
但是我们发现以色列是非常奇妙的一个民族。
It we found that Israel is a very strange and interesting country.
他们不管到哪个国家
This nationality, wherever they go,
他们通常就生活在他们的社区犹太区
They will live in their own community, the Jewish community.
他们是跟世界的人分别开来
They live apart from the rest of the world.
他们是敬拜唯一的真神
They worship the only true God.
他们要守安息律星期六那天什么工都不可以做
They keep the Sabbath. They don't do any work on Saturday.
他们有很多在就业上的饮食习惯
They have lots of dietary habits according to the Old Testament.
而且他们的孩子是放在犹太的学校里面学习宗教课程
And they put their children to the Jewish school to learn religious subjects.
我有一位老板 他是一个犹太人。
I have a Jewish boss.
那事实上他已经不太像犹太人。
Actually, he's not really typical Jewish.
他不赞同家里人对这个宗教的狂热。
He opposed the zeal, the religious zeal of his family members.
他娶外邦人台湾人为妻。
He married a Gentile woman from Taiwan.
但是即使他是这样子的，他的孩子仍然是放在犹太的学校来学习宗教课程。
Even though he still put his child to the Jewish school to learn religious subjects.
在当地的学校来学习世俗的课程。
And to the local school to learn secular subjects.
因为这些观念在他们里面是根深蒂固的。
Because these concepts are so deeply rooted in them.
所以虽然经过了1800年。
So although after 1800 years,
他们仍然知道自己是哪个支派的，他们的家谱是谁。
They still could tell which tribe they're coming from, and they know about their genealogies.
那这是以色列复国的第一个条件，他这个民族不可以被同化。
So this is the first condition for Israel to be re-established. That is, this nation must not be assimilated.
那以色列要复国第二个条件，那个地区的自然环境要被预备。
The second condition is.The natural environment in the Israel area must be prepared.
以色列王国号从公元70年一直到1917年，大概有1800年的时间。
From 70 to 1917, about 1800 years period of time after the Israel was destructed.
那一段时间他被许多的外邦人所统治。
They were reigned by many foreign rulers.
但是很奇怪，从公元70年起，那里就没有 下过秋雨跟春雨，下雨量非常的少。
After AD 70, no autumn or spring rain fell on the land of Israel.
所以以色列地，那个地方就成为一个废墟，成为一个荒场。
Leaving Israel as a ruin and a wasteland.
这正如利未记26章33节所预言的。
Just like the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verse 33, prophesied.
我要把你们散在列邦中，我也要拔刀追赶你们。你们的地要成为荒场，你们的城邑要变为荒凉。
And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste.
真的是感谢主。
Praise our Lord.
因为正是这些水资源的缺乏。
Because of the lack of the water resources.
那个地方不适合居住。
That place was not suitable to be inhabited by human.
所以在以色列那个地区一直就没有兴起一个强大的国家。
So in the land of Israel, there had never been a strong power, a strong country.
一直到了1918年。
Until 1918.
那个地区的有阿拉伯人只有56万人，犹太人只有5.5万人。
And there's 550,000 Arabian, but only 50,000 Jewish people living there.
我们很知道就是一个文明，一个国家，它对水资源是非常的需要。
We know that for a civilization, for a country to survive, water is very important.
那以色列跟澳洲是很相似的。
Israel is a bit like Australia.
他们是靠着这个秋雨春雨降下来的时候就把那些雨水储蓄起来。
We store the water when the rain falls.
那如果没有这些充足的淡水资源就没有办法诞生一个国家。
Without enough fresh water resources, a country cannot be born.
但是我们看见很奇妙就是在1917年11月2号。
Amazingly, 2nd of November 1917,
当英国要为这个以色列返回故土铺路，他发表了一个拜尔福宣言。
Britain has paved the way for the independence of Israel, and they declared a Balfour Declaration.
那个时候，秋雨跟春雨再次降下来。
And ever since that declaration was announced, the rain, spring and autumn rain, start falling again.
那这个是为以色列回到故土创造了一个自然条件。
This has created some natural conditions for Israel to become a country again.
在利未记二十六章四十二节，神说。
In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 42.
我就要纪念我与雅各所立的约，与以撒所立的约，与亚伯拉罕所立的约，并要纪念这地。
Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember, and I will remember the land.
我们发现这是神的预备。
We discover that this is the preparation from God.
第三点，我们看到以色列要复国，这些百姓要肯回来。
The third condition for Israel to be re-established as a state is the people must be willing to return.
我们或许会知道一些犹太人的一些屈辱史。
Maybe we're all aware of some humiliating history of the Jews.
这些犹太人好像到世界哪个地方，哪个地方都不欢迎他们的。
The Jews are not welcome wherever they go.
在1920年英国就开始排斥犹太人。
In 1920, Britain started to, rejecting the Jews.
那欧盟一带的那些国家就开始杀害犹太人。
The EU countries start killing the Jews.
在14世纪开始，在这个欧盟一带就是有这个鼠疫，或者我们讲的黑死病流行。
There was disease and plagues.Prevailing in the EU area.
这个鼠疫大概持续了三个世纪，也被扣在。
Starting from the 10th century, this plague lasted for 300 years.
犹太人背黑锅，也被杀了很多人。
And they all blamed the Jews, and that's why they were, a lot of the Jews were killed.
世界第一次大战，苏联杀了不少犹太人。
World War I, the Soviet Union,They killed lots of Jews.
但是犹太人他毕竟在那个地方已经生活很长时间了。
But because the Jews has been settling now in different parts of the world for a long time.
他们在那里有他们的把握，有他们的安乐窝。
They had their assurance and their comfort nest in comfortable nest in the areas where they live.
所以他们是不愿意回到巴勒斯坦这个地方。
So they were not willing to return to Palestine.
那这个事情就一直到了第二次世界大战。
And until World War II,
当德国的希特勒屠杀了600万的犹太人。
When Hitler killed 6 million Jews,
在一夜之间，那些犹太人他们所经营的事业，所积蓄的财宝，他们舒适的住所，全部化为乌有。
So overnight,The Jews well operated the business, the hoard of gold and silver, their comfortable residence were all gone.
我们知道瑞士银行很有钱，那很多就是这些犹太人的死人的钱。
We know the Swiss bank has a lot of money there, and the majority of the money comes from the Jews who were killed.
那因为这个六百万的死亡的代价，犹太人开始意识到他需要有个国家来保护。
The cost of this more than 6 million deaths finally made the Jewish people to realize the importance of having their own country.
所以1946年，当那个二战结束之后，从集中营里面存活下来那些犹太人，灰溜溜的全部都逃回巴勒斯坦那个地方。
So in 1946, after the World War II finished, the survivors...From the concentration camp, all these Jews flooded back to Palestine.
这样子到了1948年，那个地区大概有65万的犹太人。那这个是第三个条件。
By 1948, there were about 650,000 Jews living in Palestine area.
那第四点，以色列要复国，他政治上真的是神为他预备。
The fourth condition for the Israel to become a country is the political preparation.
在1947年11月29号联合国大会，他以33票赞同，13票反对，11票弃权，通 通过了一项决议，就是把巴勒斯坦划分为两个国家，一个给犹太人，一个给巴勒斯坦人。
On the 29th of November 1947, the United Nations General Assembly has passed a resolution to divide the land of Palestine into two states. And the voting was 33-13 with 11 abstentions. The land of Palestine will be divided into two states, one for the Jews and one for the Palestinians, for the Arabs.
那我们知道这个联合国安理会有五个常任委员国，是美国、俄罗斯、中国、英国跟法国。
There are five permanent members of the UN Security Council. They're United States, Russia, China, Britain, and France.
联合国宪章里面有一项叫大国一致的原则，就是有一件事情啊，如果这五个国家任何有个国家投了反对票，这项决议就不能通过。
The UN Charter stipulates the principle of consensus among major powers, which means out of the five member countries, if one disagrees with a non-procedure issue, then this bill should not be passed.
那么在以色列建国这件事情上，五个常任委员国，美国、法国、苏联投了赞同票。
On the issue of the re-establishment of a state for Israel, among the five permanent members, the United States, France, and the Soviet Union all voted for Israel.
那个时候中国的政权是中华民国和英国投了弃权票。
The Republic of China and Britain abstained.
这实在是神的保守。
This is truly the protection from God.
我们对历史如果有一点点了解的话，我们知道1947年是刚好冷战刚刚开始。
The 1947 was just the beginning of the Cold War.
我们实在是没有想到苏联他会支持以色列建国。
And we never expected that Soviet Union would support Israel to be re-established.
而且它是第一个正式承认以色列为主权国家的一个国家。
And he became the first country to recognize Israel's independence.
他比美国出的力还要多，这是我们没有想象到的。
He helped Israel even more than USA, and this is far beyond our expectation.
当然，这个苏联跟以色列的这个蜜月期很快就结束了。
Of course, soon the honeymoon between Israel and the Soviet Union finished.
但是这让我们去看见神做事的奇妙。
Yet the timing has allowed us to see how God had amazingly worked in the world.
因为君王的心在耶和华手中，好像水沟的水可以随意流转。
For in the Lord's hand, the king's heart is like a stream of water that he channels towards all who pleases him.
那这个是神在政治上的预备。
This is the preparation by God on the political side.
那第五个是神在军事上的保护。
The fifth condition is relating to military protection.
1948年5月14号，这个以色列宣布建国。
Israel declared its independence on 14th of May 1948.
当他宣布这个决定的时候，当时在巴勒斯坦犹太人只有65万。
At that time, there were only 650,000 Jews living in Palestine.
而阿拉伯人有120万。
And 1.2 million Arabs living there.
在他周边的那些阿拉伯国家有3000万人口。
And 30 million Arabian in the neighboring country.
在以色列宣布复国的第二天，就有10万的阿拉伯联军要进攻以色列。
The day after Israel's independence, 100,000 Arab coalition forces attacked Israel.
这个北面有叙利亚，有黎巴嫩，有伊拉克。
Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq from the north.
东面有约旦国。
Jordan from the east.
南面有这个埃及。
Egypt from south.
他们从三面有进攻 以色列要把以色列吞噬掉。
From three sides, they attacked Israel at the same time, wanting to swallow this newborn country.
在以色列那个时候没有正规军的，只有30,000人的警察跟民兵。
But for Israel, there's only about 30,000 police force and soldiers.
而且又没有什么武器。
They don't have weaponries.
所以在他们的攻击下，没有立足之地。
Under the enemy's attack, Israel lost ground.
但是在这个关键的时候，美国跟苏联联手，在联合国提出要他们要停火。
At this critical moment, the U.S. and Soviet Union put up a ceasefire proposal in the United Nations.
在这个四周的停火的这个期间，苏联就通过了他的卫星国捷克，向这个以色列啊提供了很多这个德国的那个装备，军事装备。
During this four-week truce period, the Soviet used their satellite state, Czechoslovak, to provide lots of weapons to Israel, which were made by Germany.
那这个就成为扭转战争的一个关键。
And that has turned around the war.
那经过几个月的这个恶斗。
After a few months fierce fight,
以色列竟然奇迹般了战胜那些联军。
Miraculously, Israel defeated the enemies.
所以很奇妙啊，以色列不但他没有被消灭，
他
的领土反而扩大了三分之一。
They not only survived, but they expanded their territory by one third.
那这个是第一次中东战争。
That was called the first Middle East War.
那从以色列立国到现在，总共发生了5次的中东战争。
And ever since the Israel was founded, there have been five Middle East wars altogether.
我们知道这个战争是很消耗国力的。
We know how wars will exhaust a country's economy.
我们中国经过那些越战，经过这些韩战。
China went through the wars with Vietnam and Korea.
那时候我们都很辛苦嘛。
And it was a hard time for the whole country.
但是以色列这个国家周边那么多国家来攻击它。
Yet Israel has withstood so many wars from all the neighboring countries.
而且发生了这么多次的这个战争，但是它的人口经济可以稳步的增长。
They went through so many battles and wars, but the economy and population has been growing steadily.
这个实在是神的保守。
This is the protection from God.
在耶利米书15:20说。
In Jeremiah 15:20.
我必使你，这个你就是讲以色列，我必使你向这百姓成为坚固的铜墙，他们必攻击你却不能胜你，因我与你同在，要拯救你搭救你。这是耶和华说的。
The means Israel, Jeremiah 15:20, and I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, says the Lord.
所以我们发现就是圣经的预言，它不是很笼统的一两句话。
So we can see the biblical prophecies are not just some general summaries.
它是很精准，一些细节是讲得非常的清楚。
The prophecies are precise and accurate, especially to do with the details.
我们再来看这个马太福音24:32。
Matthew 24:32。
你们可以从无花果树学个比方，当树枝花嫩展叶的时候，你们就知道夏天近了。
Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh.
这个是主耶稣说了。
The Lord Jesus said this.
无花果树是预表以色列。不单是以色列，它也预表以色列那个地荒。
The fig tree not only represents the country of Israel, but also the area of Israel.
也指了耶路撒冷和圣殿来说的。
It also means Jerusalem and the temple and the land of Canaan.
所以无花果的这个预表有四个方面。
So the fig tree has four meanings in representation.
我们如果记得我们的主耶稣造主不结果子的无花果树。
Remember Jesus cursed the tree that didn't produce the figs.
无花果树就枯干了。
And this fig tree withered immediately.
那个是指着公元七十年之后，耶路撒冷要被外邦人所践踏，圣殿要被拆毁。
That was referring to what happened in AD 70, where the temple was destroyed and Jerusalem fell.
但是这边讲到无花果的这个树枝发嫩长叶，这个是讲到以色列的复国。
Yet here it says, when the new leaves come out of the fig tree, it talks about the re-establishment of the state of Israel.
它不单单要复国，而且这个复国的地方必须在以色列现在这个地方。
Not only Israel will be restored, and the place that this happened must be in the land of Canaan.
因为以色列人要建立他的国家有其他的三个选项。
Because there could be another three possibilities of options for the creation of a Jewish state.
第一个就是在阿根廷建国。
First is in Argentina.
在阿根廷南部那边，他可以通过购买那个地方的土地来建立国家。
The southern part of Argentina, you can buy a block of land to establish a country.
那第二个地方是乌干达建国。
The second place is to establish a country in Uganda.
这个是在非洲东部的一个国家，那个时候是英国统治的地方。
That was a country in East Africa under the rule of Britain.
英国人要帮助犹太人复国很麻烦的。
It is hard for the British people to help the Jews to establish their own country.
因为中东那个局势太麻烦了。
Because the situation in the Middle East area is really complicated.
所以英国说你不要这么麻烦好不好，我把我这个地方划出一片让你建国。
So the Britain offered, let's not bother it. How about I give you a land in Uganda and so you can establish your country here?
那这个是他建国的第二个可能的地方。
That was the second possible location for Israel to be restored.
那第三个可能地方是苏联的某一个地方。
And the third possible option is a place in Soviet Union.
这个苏联的执政者斯大林啊，不喜欢这个犹太人回到耶路撒冷，所以他是希望你在这个西伯利亚那个地方，犹太人可以在那个地方建立一个国家。
Because Stalin didn't like the idea for the Jews to return to their own country, so he'd rather the Jews to live in some place in Siberia and settle down and establish their country.
但是我们发现圣经的预言是在迦南地。
Yet, the Bible's prophecy is the land of Canaan.
所以以色列就必须在巴勒斯坦这个地方建国。
So Israel must establish their own country in the land of Palestine.
那这个是圣经预言的精准性。
This is talking about the precision and accuracy of the prophecies in the Bible.
我们再看另外一个地方，是在以赛亚书四十三章五到六节。
Isaiah 43:5-6.
以赛亚书是成书于公元前740年到690年之间。
The book of Isaiah was completed in about 740 BC to 690 BC.
我们可以一起念。不要惧怕，因我与你同在。我必领你的后裔从东方来，又从西方招聚你。我要对北方说，交出来；对南方说，不要拘留。将我的众子从远方带来，将我的众女从地极领回。我们知道这个以色列的东边是讲到伊拉克、伊朗，再往东的话讲到我们中国。
The east of Israel referring to Iraq, Iran, and further China.
那西方的话就是欧盟那个国家，
west
再往
to the Israel,
往西的话是美国那边。
West to the Israel are countries like EU countries, and even further referring to America.
这个东边跟西边的儿女回来好像没有什么难处。
For the children of Israel to come back from east and west, it seems to be not too much difficulties.
但是在北边跟南边好像发生了难处，他们不愿意交出来。
Yet there are difficulties in the north and south because they're not willing to give up the children of Israel back.
而且 这边讲到是从远荒从地极领回。
And it talks about from the far remote place, the edge of the earth.
所以这个是指着遥远的东北荒。
So this means the far north, which is, was referring to the Soviet Union.
那苏联原来是跟以色列刚刚建国的时候非常好的。
The Soviet Union was very close to Israel when Israel first established its country.
但是当以色列要跟苏联提出要让这个苏联的以色列人移民啊回他的国家的时候，苏联就不愿意干了。
But when Israel proposed to migrate Soviet Jews back to Israel, the Soviet Union firmly refused.
因为那些犹太人都是非常厉害的，都是这些专家。
Because those Jews are really great, smart, and elite people. They're experts in all areas.
那这件事情就一直到了苏联解体，也就是1991年。
Until 1991, when the Soviet Union was resolved,
神就兴起这个苏联最好的一代一个领导人叫什么戈尔巴乔夫。
God rose the last good leader in Soviet Union, who's called Gorbachev.
当柏林墙倒的时候，好像一切都发生改变了。
When the walls of Berlin collapsed,
所以从1991年到2000年。在大概十年的时间，有80万居住在苏联的犹太人回到了这个巴勒斯坦这个地方。
So from 1991 to year 2000, in less than 10 years, about 800,000 Russian Jews immigrated back to Israel.
那这个是神开了路，对北方说你要交出来。
This was a way opened by God because He said to the north, "Give up."
那么南荒是指的非洲那个地方。
South refers to Africa.
在非洲的这个苏丹旁边有个国家叫埃塞俄比亚。
A country close to Sudan and the south of Africa is called Ethiopia.
我们没有想到那个地方竟然有一批犹太人，而且他们就是皮肤就是黑色的。
We never expected there were Jews living in that area and they were dark-skinned.
我的那个老板娘有一次去美国参加他们这个家族聚会，她说很奇怪，为什么他们家族里面竟然有黑犹太人，竟然有黑色的。
My boss wife went to America to attend a family union, and she was amazed how come some of the Jews in the family were dark skinned.
那我知道这段历史，我真的是很感恩，感谢主。
When I knew this history.I really thank God in my heart.
在1984年，在那个地方开始闹那个饥荒。
There's a famine starting in 1984 in the place.
所以以色列要空运大概8000人的这个非洲犹太人回到这个巴勒斯坦地。
And Israel will have to airlift about 8,000 Jews back to Palestine.
他们就从这个埃塞俄比亚那个地方徒步走到这个苏丹那个地方，从苏丹的机场把他们运到这个埃及这个地以色列这个地方。
Lots of Jews, they walk on feet from Sudan to Ethiopia and from there to take the flight back to Israel.
但是这件事情很快就被阿拉伯国家知道了，他就向这个苏丹当局施压力。
This evacuation operation was soon discovered by the Arabs, and they pressurized the Sudan.
那这件事情一直到了1991年。
Until 1991.
这个埃塞俄比亚它陷入这个动乱。
There was a riot in Ethiopia.
那以色列这个航空，他们就获得了这个特别的许可。
And Air Israel had got a special permission.
可以在安息日飞行。
To operate their plane on the Sabbath.
他们本来安息日是不可以做工的嘛。
Originally, no one could work on the Sabbath.
但是因为这是有关生命的这个问题。
Because this matter is life and death related.
所以在5月24号，就是星期五开始，那 那个当局给他36个小时运送这些废造犹太人的这个时间。
So on the 24th of May, the government, the authorities gave them 36 hours to evacuate the Jews.
那有34架的以色列这个航空客机，他们把所有的座位，把里面人拆的全部拆掉。
34 Israeli Airlines passenger planes removed all the seats inside the airplane to maximize the capacity.
他们就像塞猪宅一样的，就把那些非洲的犹太人，总共有10,000多名，从非洲那个地方带回来。
They crammed all the African Jews, about more than 10,000 people, into the plane, the 36 planes.
那这个是神开的路，对南方说不要拘留。
And airlifted them back to Israel. This is how God said to the south, "Do not hold my children back."
所以我们来看见这个以色列这个复国竟然可以应验的时候，我们发现圣经真的是可以相信的。
So when we see how the prophecies about the reestablishment of Israel are all fulfilled, we really believe that the words in the Bible are trustworthy, breathed by God.
那么我们如果对世界有一点点经历的话，我们可能不会那么容易相信一件事情。
Yes, if we have lots of experience living in the world, we may not easily believe one thing.
圣经记载是不是真实的？它也没被修改过。
Which is the historical events recorded in Bible, were they real? Have they been falsified?
圣经是不是西方国家的精神鸦片？是被创造出来为了统治老百姓？
Is the Bible a mental opium created by the Western powers in order to reign the people?
所以这些预言的应验都是事后被修改过的呢。
So the prophecies in the Bible must have been falsified or changed after the historical events happened.
那在1947年，有个阿拉伯的一个少年人，他是牧羊人。
In 1947, a young Arab, a shepherd.
那他的一只羊走失了，所以他就在死海的附近。在寻找他的羊。
One of his goats went astray, and he was looking for it near the Dead Sea.
他发现了一个山洞，就为了测试他的羊也没在里面，就拿了一块石头扔到那个山洞里面。
He found a cave. In order to test if his goat is inside that cave, he picked up a stone and threw it into the cave.
那他听见这个瓦罐破碎的声音，他就下去，就看见那边有一些骨精绝。
And he heard the sound of jars broken, and he went into the cave and found lots of scrolls inside the jars.
那这就是死海古卷，我们看一下图片。
These are how the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered.
那学者从希伯来古文体那边来判断。
Scholars compared the ancient Hebrew scripts written on the Dead Sea Scroll.
这些死海古卷大概是抄写于公元前300年到公元前100年之间。
They dated these scrolls, were created, from 300 BC to 100 BC.
那死海古卷它是包括所有的这个旧约全书。
And this Dead Sea Scroll contained all the books in the Old Testament that we have now.
那除了以斯帖记之外。
Except for the book of Esther.
那其中它保存最完全的就是以赛亚书。
The book that was preserved most completely was the book of Isaiah.
那这个古卷的发现，它就证明圣经从来没有被更改过。
The discovery of this ancient scrolls proved that the manuscript of the Bible has never been changed or altered.
那么如果圣经是我们可以相信的，是神所默示的，那我想对我们每一位来说都有个很重要的一个提醒。
Now that the Bible is inspired by God and is trustworthy, it is such an important reminder for all of us sitting here today.
我们要重新来看待圣经。
We should look at our Bible from a new angle.
我们要来思想我们一生的价值究竟有没有价值。
We want to consider whether there is value in all our life.
所以我们今天我们每一位都要面临 两个选择。
So today, every one of us are facing two choices.
第一个是以扫的路。
First, the way of Esau.
就是靠着自己的肉体，靠着自己的努力，但是他最终一生没有价值。
To live by your own might, own effort and flesh, yet yielding no results, no value in your life.
他的一生不被神纪念。
He was not remembered by God all his life.
那第二个就是雅各的路。
Second, the way of Jacob.
也就是以色列的路。
The way of Israel.
以色列是神的王子。
Israel is the prince of God.
就是我们愿不愿意像雅各一样抓住神的祝福。
Are we willing to be like Jacob to cling, to get hold onto the blessing of God?
我们服在神的管教之下。
To be submitted to the discipline of God.
神在以色列民族身上所做的工作。
The work that God has put on Israel.
以色列被掳是为了归回。
His captivity is for him to return to God.
以色列被拆毁是为了重建。
Destruction of Israel is for it to be rebuilt.
那你今天愿不愿意来得到这宝贵的救恩？
So today, are you willing to receive this precious salvation?
我们中间有没有这位这样的一位朋友，你今天愿意来认识主？我们请你把手举一下。
Do we have any gospel friends here today want to know our God?
我们从世界的这些局势来看，在山火肆虐，在这个民攻打民，国攻打国的时候，我们看见我们的主回来日子近。
Among all the disasters and situations in this world, the bushfire, the wars, we can see that the Lord is coming back shortly.
所以盼望我们每一位不要放过我们今天这个机会。
I hope none of us will let go this opportunity today.
圣经既然是可信的，我们就需要胆战心惊。
Since the Bible is trustworthy, how much more trembling we need to stand before the Lord.
有没有这样的一位朋友，你今天愿意来信主？
Is there any friend here that is willing to believe in the Lord?
我们请你把你的手举一下。
Could you put up your hand?
好，那我们低头，我们有些祷告。
Shall we bow and pray?
主，我们实在感谢你的恩典。
Lord, we truly thank you for your grace.
因为你给我们一本宝贵的书，就是圣经。
Because you have given us the most precious book, which is the Bible.
主，你告诉我们你爱我们。
You've told us that you love us.
当我们还在做罪人的时候，主你就爱我们。
While we're still sinners, you have loved us.
主，我们把每一位今天在座的都交在主人手中。
We commit everyone sitting here onto your hand.
主，你帮助我们每一位都通过我们的理性来思想。
Help us to think with our reasoning.
主，你竟然是真实的一位。
That you are the true God.
主，你就帮助我们有力量。
Help us to be strengthened.
帮助我们愿意踏出我们第一步，我们愿意来抓住主你的祝福。
Help us to be able to, willing to step the first step out to get a hold of you.
我们求主你祝福我们每一位。
May you bless us.
当我们里面有挣扎的时候，主，我们求主你不放过。
When we have struggles inside us, may you not let us go.
福音是圣灵的大能，我们求圣灵继续在我们里面来动工，帮助我们愿意悔改，愿意来认识你。
The gospel is the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit continue to move us, help us, and change us so that we may be able to receive you.
谢谢主，我们这样祷告是奉耶稣基督你宝贵的名。
Thank you, and we pray in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen.